Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. We made it through the opening music, so we're already off to a better start than last Friday's podcast. Anyways, I did say, right, I'm the Big Jack, and I did say it's Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
Oh, you all know what that music means by now. Schomburg Stu's here. How you doing, Stu?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. So if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link and it'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could go ahead and like that, since you went all the way over there, you might as well, right? And don't forget, of course, we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Still no Twitter account yet for Stu. We're working on that, but you can reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will pass any of the messages you need to along to Stu. So there you go. Oh, all right, Stu. Well, let's go ahead and knock out some more picks for you. Now, I did have Stu make picks last week, even though we had issues with the podcast. And out of the five he made, he hit on four of them. So he's 9-3 overall for the first two playoff rounds. So we start. Let's go ahead and start in the good old AFC, since that seems to be what we do. We have Buffalo at Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes has come out and said that he will be cleared to play. That's obviously a big deal. Do you like who do you like in this game?
Well, since he's cleared to play, and I know it's been touch and go because of the concussion protocol, I will have to pick Kansas City to defeat Buffalo.
All right. So since there's only two games, we'll add a little here. Kansas City is a 3-point favorite in this game. Do you have them covering?
I think they'll win by more than 3 points.
All right. So we move over to the NFC, which is actually the first game on Sunday. We've just been picking the AFC first, so I stuck with it. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Green Bay Packers. Who you got Aaron Rodgers winning this game or Tom Brady winning this game?
Well, good question, but I will have to go along with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers defeating Tampa in a tough competitive contest.
So, all right, well, this line is a little different here. We have Green Bay favorite by 3.5. Do you like them to cover, or you got Tampa Bay keeping it that close?
It'll be close, but I think Green Bay will cover.
All right. I just got to, you know, make sure I mark everything here so I can keep track of how you're doing. So Dan would make fun of me right now because I'm writing it down, and you're not supposed to write it down, but, you know, it's the only way I can remember things. So, you know, I'm getting to that age.
Is Dan saying you have to have it memorized without writing it down?
I'm supposed to put it on some kind of spreadsheet or something like that. I don't remember what I'm supposed to do. So, but anyways, let's get into what is, you know, probably the biggest news of the day and also probably the saddest. Hank Aaron passed away at the age of 86. Now, he had a 23-year major league career. That I don't believe that's counting the couple of years he spent in the Negro League, and I'm actually trying to figure out how that is correct because I heard he was a 25-time All-Star, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because if he played 23 years, how did he end up being a 25-time All-Star? But anyways, he's a former World Series MVP, a former MVP. He won a couple batting titles in his career, so he wasn't just a home run hitter, and he's a 3-time Gold Glove winner. Obviously, Stu, you know, a different time back when defense and actual hitting mattered, not just home runs. You obviously got to see more of his career than I did, even though I do really remember him breaking Babe Ruth's record. What do you remember about Hank Aaron?
Well, the first thing I remember was that he was a legitimate Cub killer, along with, for example, Frank Thomas, among other players. Pete Rose did very well against the Cubs. And, of course, Schmidt of Philadelphia was a real Cub killer. But Hank Aaron, no matter if it was at Wrigley Field or playing at his home base, always destroyed the Cubs. And he was a great clutch hitter. He did it all. And as you pointed out, he was not just a home run hitter. He could hit for average, and he had a super career. And really sad to see him passing, but of course he was 86. And I've been trying to find out, have they disclosed the cause of his death as of yet?
No, not yet.
I hope it wasn't COVID-related.
Yeah, God, I hope not. I have not heard yet, but, you know, just a couple things like, you know, Hank Aaron, in my mind, will always be the home run leader. I'll never attribute that to Barry Bonds. But a couple other things you may not know about Hank Aaron, he's actually the leader in career RBIs with 2,297 and total bases as well at 6,856. That total base number, he is actually, I believe it's 700 total bases ahead of against the second place guy who just happens to be Stan Musial. So, you know, when you look at the numbers, you know, it's phenomenal. You know, he spent 21 years in a Braves uniform. Now, of course, they started in Milwaukee. He ended up going back to Milwaukee to finish his career. But, you know, you're also talking about a guy who's a 305 lifetime hitter. And, you know, interestingly here, Stu, he struck out 1,383 times in his career, but he walked 1,402. And now I don't think we're ever going to see a power hitter with stats like that again, are they? With as much as they strike out, nobody's going to have more walks than strikeouts, right?
That's right. And what I thought was really sad about Hank Aaron, and I'm sure you must have read about this one time or another, but after he broke Babe Ruth's records, he was inundated with death threats and very, very bad rhetoric because he was a black man breaking Babe Ruth's record. Yeah. And I'm wondering if that ever happened now in our more politically correct world, if that would be avoided in today's economy. You think that, or you think the same thing might happen again?
You know, I don't think it would be as many, but unfortunately, there still are some idiots out there. You know, it's just for whatever reason, you know, and obviously what added to the problem with Hank Aaron was he played in Atlanta, you know, where the South is, you know, they still have some racist issues there. So, you know, I'm sure there would be some here and there, but, you know, probably not to the volume that he got. And I know it went so far that they actually had to assign his daughter a protective detail at college.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that, but that is really a shame to hear something like that.
So, yeah, just, you know, just to obviously keep her safe. But yeah, you know, and it's unfortunate, but like you said, he was 86. So he had a long life, and, you know, it'll always be, you know, one of the things to debate on, you know, was he the greatest player of all time? You know, I know Willie Mays gets a lot of votes in that category, and obviously there, you know, there are other guys who are going to get some, and you do wonder if down the line, you know, Mike Trout starts to get added into that conversation. So, you know, I definitely think he'll always be around, but I hope kids kind of take notice and, you know, look up what he did and what he accomplished. And honestly, I wish the analytics and sabermetric guys would look at it and try to figure out how a guy who hit 755 career home runs walked more than he struck out.
Yeah, you will never see that happen again. And he was, by the way, he was quite active in the civil rights movement after he retired, and to his credit. So he was not a one-dimensional player or just a baseball player. He did a lot for everybody involved, and sad to see him go. And as I mentioned, he was a cup killer, and loved to play at Wrigley Field, and he ruined many a Cub fan's night or evening with the long ball. I'm not sure if when he played, did the Cubs have lights when he played towards the end of his career? I'm trying to remember now.
I don't think they got lights just yet. So.
No, I don't think so. I think you're right, but. He was a great ball player and a great human being, and then he'll be missed. He'll be missed, that's for sure.
So, yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, this kind of thing happens. It's incredibly sad, but, you know, you start to lose your heroes, and Hank Aaron definitely a hero for many. So, you know, just tough, you know, tough to see it, hear about it happening.
And you were talking about Willie Mays before, and with all due respect to Hank Aaron, I think that Willie Mays was a much better fielder than Hank Aaron, and also he could steal bases too, and
yeah.
Hank Aaron wasn't quite adept in that department. So Willie Mays certainly is in contention for being possibly the greatest player ever.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of people in that camp as well. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those open conversations that I honestly don't know if you'd ever get an answer to, because everybody is going to have their own opinion. But, you know, it can be fun to debate. So, you know, that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, I wonder what Ty Cobb thought of Willie Mays and Hank Aaron.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, I think we might know the answer to that. It just wouldn't be very good.
No, for sure. But as you say, he was 86 and had a long life, and kind of questioning my own mortality as we talk about Hank Aaron.
Yeah, well, you know, as more and more of these guys that I remember playing pass away, I start to kind of wonder the same thing. It's like, good Lord, man, I remember when he was this or that, or, you know, and it was like, wow. So, but all right, well, I'm gonna hit you with the question that I probably hit you with the last few times we've been on air here. You know, this week, you know, Tyler Chatwood picked up a deal with the Blue Jays. John Lester ended up signing with the Nationals, even though there was a lot of rumors the Cubs were willing to bring him back, and he only got $5 million. So I don't know why he's not back in a Cub uniform. But, Stu, you know, that leaves Kyle Hendricks and Alec Mills as the only guys left from last year's rotation, and Jose Quintana got a deal with the Angels. So what the hell are the Cubs doing?
Well, what about Azale? Didn't he get a few starts last year?
Yeah, but he had like four, but that doesn't really count. I meant like full-time guys. So.
Yeah, the Cubs will have to obviously do something about showing up their starting pitching. And as we always point out, though, they're in a really weak division, so no matter how poorly they do in terms of starting pitching and relief pitching, they still will be in the thick of it, with the exception of the Pittsburgh Pirates, possibly Cincinnati too, by the way. I think have fallen in hard times.
It depending on how many more of their guys they decide to dump, yeah, it's possible they could be there too. But, yeah, you know, I'm just kind of, again, baffled thinking that, you know, Lesnar only got $5 million, Quintana only got $8 million, and Chatwood only got $3 million. How can the big money Cubs not afford to bring at least one of those guys back?
I heard that the Ricketts are heavily in debt. If you heard that, very, very heavily in debt because of all the stuff they did around the ballpark, and they're cash poor at the moment. And I saw a couple of speculations that they should sell the Cubs. They should get out right now because their cash flow is very poor right now, so it doesn't give me much confidence on the future of the Cubs over the next few seasons.
So, yeah, no, that could be a big issue there as time kind of goes along if they're, you know, not able to sign guys or keep guys. And obviously, you know, they've got a lot of, you know, guys just coming up here. You know, next year it's, you know, we've talked about Chris Bryan a bunch. Who knows if he'll actually even still be around, but you know, Javi Baez also becomes a free agent, and so does Anthony Rizzo. So, you know, I mean, we're talking about guys that, you know, like Rizzo obviously is kind of the heart and soul of the team. Can you really afford to not do everything to bring him back? And, you know, Baez is the fan favorite. You know, I mean, I think we're all pretty convinced that Bryant is gone. But can you allow those other two to leave?
Well, I could see Baez leaving, but I cannot see Rizzo leaving. Like you point out, he's the heart and soul of the Cubs. And I mean, you can't say everything negative about them because, as you probably well know, they did make an acquisition today.
Oh, no, actually, I didn't see it, but I do see a new name on the roster. Was that Austin Romine?
Is that the catcher?
Yeah.
That must be the Yeah, that's the second-string catcher. I think for most of his career, he's been a backup with the Yankees. I think he also spent a little time in Detroit. He did hit a big 230 or so last season. So he'll be the Cubs' backup for next year. Now, is he as good
unless
as Caratini? I don't think so.
Unless Wilson Contreras gets traded, then he could be the starter.
Yeah, he could be the starting catcher for the Cubs next season if Contreras goes, although I figure that he'll probably – well, I don't know. They may move him because he has, what, 2 years left on his contract? So maybe
he's
get
got
more in return for him?
Next year.
So, yeah, there's a little more value in dealing a Wilson Contreras because they have that extra year of control.
Right.
So,
well, I think the Ricketts should be very, very happy that there will be no Cub convention this season.
Yeah, you would think, you know, it can't be pleasant with what's going on. I still don't understand a lot of it unless, like you said, they're having some money issues and
they're heavily in debt. Yes.
They just can't manage to, you know, do any of the things, you know, that they need to do to keep the team competitive. And again, they should still be competitive in a very weak NL Central, but I would be shocked unless Kyle Hendricks pitches a gem for them to even win a playoff game.
Well, that's the only thing. If they got into the playoffs, you would have to think that in order for them to win one game, that Hendricks would have one of his better performances, which is possible. He's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
But that's it.
So, but
I mean, so they win one game, and that's it.
So, yeah, and I think, you know, any hope of bringing back any of the actual free agents is kind of out the window now because they were the maybe with the exception of Jeremy Jeffress, but he has a lot of suitors, and I just can't see the Cubs if they're not, you know, if they couldn't pay John Lester $5 million, Jeffress is probably going to get multiple years. They're not going to pay that, so I don't know.
Well, I wasn't really a fan of his anyway, even though his stats look pretty good. He did not impress me enough to warrant a long-term deal. So,
well, it would probably only be a couple years.
A year or
but,
two, maybe a two-year deal. But it's hard to believe when you think about it that how the team has been decimated since 2016. So as of this moment, there are six players left who are on the 2016 World Series team. Six players left. And you know, after this season or maybe even during the season, one or two of them will be gone also, at least.
Yeah.
I get that, you know, you do have to constantly flux your roster to, you know, keep it fresh and that. But, you know, that was something Theo Epstein didn't do. And obviously that's led to part of the downfall here because, you know, now you've got all these guys coming up for arbitration at the same time and you can't keep them all. So, you know, he did win a World Series, but he made a ton of mistakes. So.
And the thing, it doesn't look quite very good in their farm system either at this point in time.
No, they've unfortunately, with the exception of the guys Theo drafted with their number one picks, nobody else has really panned out. You know, we'll see if that Azale actually works out. You know, it looks like he'll be the first guy to get a shot, but other than that, it's been a complete, basically draft bust. So
no, things have not turned out well, and I'm wondering if things get back to normal and when teams go on the road, they have roommates. Will Schwarber and Lester room together?
Yeah. So they might. So just one of those things. You know, it'd be really odd if there's still talk that the Nationals would be the team interested in Bryant. So maybe they all end up back together this year.
Yeah, and I wonder what I know that that rumor's been going around for a while, and I saw a couple of scenarios when the deal might be made. But at the best, what would the Cubs get? A couple of prospects in return?
Yeah, well, they would probably get that Carter Kieboom, who seems to have kind of washed out with the Nationals. They could probably get him back and maybe another guy or two, but it wouldn't have been anybody promising like if they would have made the deal last year. So, you know, it turned out very akin to Kyle Schwarber. You know, when they had a chance to trade Schwarber and he had huge value, Theo refused to do it because he was going to be Babe Ruth and hit 50 home runs, which oddly never panned out.
No,
and instead,
no.
They held on to him and got nothing for him in return.
Yeah, well, when you wind up hitting 188 in 2020, it doesn't really solidify your reputation as a top flight major league hitter.
Yeah, but that doesn't stay.
He's still getting a nice buck, though, anyway, isn't he? From Washington.
Yeah. That doesn't mean anything because, you know, Andrew Benintendi hit .103, and I think Christian Yelich hit worse than Kyle Schwarber did last year. You know, you can't add 2020 into anybody's point of reference, even if they had a good year, because it's just such an anomaly. I mean, you know, we don't know if Schwarber would have got hot down the stretch and ended up at .250. You know, I mean, there's just so much you can't look at. I mean,
like
I don't think anybody believes.
Remember how hot he was in the second half of 2019?
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I don't think anybody believes Christian Yelich is a .205 hitter, but if you're going to go by last year, he's a .205 hitter.
Yeah, well,
so
they are still trying to schedule a full 162-game season, the last I heard, so the players have a good chance to bounce back if they play a full complement of games this year.
Yeah, you know, and you also have to add in the fact, you got to remember that, you know, Major League Baseball took away video. You know, you weren't allowed to go in the clubhouse and review your at-bats. And I know a lot of guys mentioned that that really hurt them, you know, because you just couldn't go back and watch and see, like, how the pitcher was setting you up or anything like that. So, you know, in a 60-game span, it's tough to make that adjustment when you're so used to doing it. You know, now they've had an entire off season and they understand a little more on how it's going to go. So
is that rule
going to
be in place for next year also, Jim? Is that rule going to be in place also for 2021?
Yeah, it's permanent thanks to the Astros and the Red Sox.
They
use it to cheat. So
I know that one of the players who complained tremendously about it was Javi Baez. It said it really bothered him that he couldn't analyze his swing and video during the course of the game.
Right, and, you know, J.D. Martinez of the Red Sox was another guy whose stats came down. And he that was his complaint, was he just couldn't, you know, he couldn't get a look at what was going on. So it hurt him.
And also, you were talking, I have to bring this up, you were talking about the possibility of Chris Bryant being dealt. Now, lately, if you noticed, he has been kind of bitter about some of the remarks he's made towards the sports writers and even towards the fans. Do you think that might hurt him in terms of securing a deal with another team?
You know, maybe next year in the off season when he's a free agent and he's trying to get big money from somebody, that may have a bit of an effect on it, but not – you know, not much. I mean, how many guys have hated the media or, you know, said stupid stuff and, you know, still got paid? So.
It's true. And I pointed this out to you once before. Do you think that when he got beamed and started wearing that protective headgear, you think that has affected his overall performance since that incident took place?
You know, it might. I mean, you do wonder if psychologically that does something to you. But unfortunately, you know, he's the only one who knows.
Yeah.
So.
Well, even if they, if he is get moved, as we all suspect, at the end of maybe even towards late this season or next this season after, I'd like to see him bounce back and have a better year, just to be fair about it. I mean, you don't want to see the guy down like that after being an MVP and everything else through the course of his career. You'd like to see him bounce back and have a decent season.
Yeah, you know, it's always tough when a player – you know, it's because of an injury or in this case, you know, a hit by pitch that changes your mentality. But, you know, remember with Jason Hayward, he got hit in the face. My God, was he a Cardinal or a Brave then? And it took him quite a while to get close to form. And I mean, I don't even know if you could say he's back to the form he was in before that. So, you know, they can have, you know, long-term effects, probably psychologically, more than anything else on a player. And, you know, again, like I said, unfortunately, we'll never know, you know, unless Chris Bryant tells somebody.
Yeah, man, and it, as we pointed out before, it can be a very dangerous sport.
Yeah. You know, and especially now, I mean, it seems like everybody throws over 100 miles an hour. So.
Yeah, if a pitcher pitches inside and pitches over 100 miles an hour, well, you got to be awfully careful at the plate.
Yeah. Well, even just taking one of those in the forearm or, the back or anything, I mean, at least you hope that it's a guy throwing 100 miles an hour that has control.
Yeah, now, one thing I have to – I'm thinking maybe before – well, you remember Stan Musial, of course, with the Cardinals. He had an unusual batting stance, and he didn't get hit too often because of that, the way he stood at the plate. Do you remember the way he, he batted.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if some other players would consider altering their batting stance, although you don't see it happen too often anymore.
Yeah, no, you know, not too, you know, I mean, if you ask a guy, you know, most of them will say they're not concerned at all with being hit, you know, so you just got to kind of,
Do they really, believe that, though?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, again, we're not going to know, you know, they're not going to tell us anything or, you know, let us in on anything of interest. So
when you caught, did you ever get hit, severely injured when you got hit with a pitch ball when you played in college?
No, not batting. About the worst I ever got was I had a foul tip get me on the thumb, and I had to sit out a few games because of the swelling. You know, I couldn't grip the bat or the ball, so.
Yeah, those are nasty. With the catching, I always said catching is probably the most dangerous position for any on the field.
So yeah, it's definitely. I mean, how do you say it's not? So, you know, you're the one who is back there while the guy's swinging and the ball's coming at you, and you know, in the day they used to be able to run you over. Fortunately, you know, they can't do that anymore. So.
No, and we've seen it happen a time or two when a catcher would get hit in a vulnerable spot on his body, and that is certainly not very pleasant. I think it's happened to Yadi last season or the season before, and that is not fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those, unfortunately, just kind of part of the game, you know, when you're back there. You know, not only you, obviously, the umpire as well. You know, the home plate umpire is pretty much just as much at risk as the catcher. So.
Yeah. Well, that's why you see very few catchers have a really long, long career, with a very few exceptions, like only Yadi, of course, had a long career, and Yogi Berra had a long career, and I think Johnny Bench was in it for quite a few seasons too.
Yeah, you know, I mean the great ones. You know, you mentioned Bench, Carlton Fisk, Ivan Rodriguez. You know, they had really long careers, but yeah, it's, you know, it's rare. I mean, you know, Buster Posey has put together a nice run with the Giants, but every year they talk about trying to find a new position for him.
Yeah,
so,
and some of those catches you mentioned, I believe they also wound up playing some games at first base, did they not?
Yeah, well, remember, they tried to make Fisk an outfielder with the White Sox, and that didn't work out.
No, that didn't work out.
You know, Bench not only caught, he played some third and some outfield.
Yeah, that's right. He did.
Very few guys catch their entire career. You know, I know pretty much Yadi has done it. You know, I'm sure if you looked at his player card, there would be, you know, maybe some innings here or there at a different position. But I'm willing to bet it's not many.
No.
So.
Now that I think about it, didn't Contreras play a couple of games in left field for the Cubs?
Yeah, he's played some left field. I believe he also played some third base really early in his career with the Cubs. So, you know, and that just seems to be, you know, the thing is they try to find new positions or, you know, whatever they can for these guys, you know, because the catching being so dangerous, you know, remember, you know, Kyle Schwarber was going to be a catcher.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically ended up in left field.
Yeah, and he never was known as a great defensive left fielder, was he?
No. Well, you know, like the weird thing is, you know, like with catching, you know, they were going to try to develop them, and then I'm under the impression they had a second thought or something because he actually DH'd more in the minors than anything else. So it's kind of like, okay, you've got this guy that you're, you know, allegedly want to be a catcher, and he doesn't catch. So
I suspect that happened primarily because of the injury he sustained in spring training in 2016, rather, that led them to maybe discontinue the idea of having him as a backup catcher.
So yeah, I'm sure that, you know, that's a possibility. But yeah, it was just kind of the oddest thing. It's like, yeah, well, we're going to take this guy and we're going to do this with him. And then it was like, yeah, okay, we didn't do any of that with him even before he got hurt.
Yeah.
So
maybe he'll catch a few games for Washington.
Yeah, you never know. Honestly, I'm more interested if they're going to let him hit against left-handed pitching. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, on occasion I did see him get some hits against a left-handed pitcher, but I'm sure his overall batting average against lefties was pretty small.
So, yeah, you know, I'm sure it was, and you know, that's what I said. We'll have to see if they actually let him, you know, get some at bats and see if he can improve on that, because obviously you're not going to get any better if you don't hit against him.
No, that's true. And why is it that a left-handed batter has so much trouble against a left-handed pitcher, and it's not vice versa, a right-hander against a right-hander, because maybe that's more the norm than the other way around?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, when you're coming up, you know, like I don't think I batted against my first left-handed pitcher till I was 14 or 15. You know, there just weren't any of them. You know, we played with a couple left-handers, but they just didn't pitch. So you don't see them as a lefty. So it's kind of difficult to make the adjustments and, you know, do the things that you need to do as a hitter. So, that's just kind of, how it is.
In Major League Baseball right now, what would you think the percentage is as compared to righties versus lefties starting pitching?
You know, maybe 70-30, you know, because teams are always looking for those lefties and they're always going to get shots.
Right.
So,
right. Maybe 2 out of 3 would be a right-handed pitchers. Yeah, I guess a solid left-handed pitcher is a very valuable commodity.
Yeah, oh yeah, if you can, if you find that lefty starter, not only do you want to hang on to him, they hang around for, forever. What Jamie Moyer pitched to, what, I think he was almost 50.
Yeah.
You know, and you see these guys, Oliver Perez has been a reliever for, good Lord, it's got to be 20 years now, because he's left-handed and he can get lefties out coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and that has turned out to be a nice lucrative career for him.
Yeah. You know, that's the big thing. If you can, you got a kid, make him left-handed and teach him how to get lefties out, and he'll play forever.
Wasn't there a pitcher a couple of years ago that was ambidextrous?
Yes. Actually, I believe he's still floating around somewhere. But that was, an interesting setup, because, he wasn't allowed to change. He had to declare before each batter which hand he was going to pitch with.
Yeah, so, I was wondering, if the count they can't change him during a count of 1 and 2.
Right.
No, there's no, he has to finish with that the way he started, righty or lefty.
Yeah. So, obviously, while it was interesting, it didn't give him a huge amount of an advantage, because, he had to say, hey, I'm throwing with this hand. So.
And I imagine he had a better ERA with one hand as compared to the other.
Yeah, I would look it up if I could remember his name, but for the life of me, I'm just kind of
Yeah, I can't.
Kind of drawn
the Angels. I'm trying to remember now where he played.
Yeah, I'm
drawing a blank too.
Yeah, just completely lost on what his name is here. I'll have to see if I can kind of randomly search here and see if I can catch a break and hit it here. Yeah, there we go. Pat Venditti or Vendetti, one of the two. So.
Well, you found it pretty quickly. You must have used Dan's favorite search engine to get that information.
Yeah. Yeah, I hit it up on Bing there, and it popped up. So even though he doesn't have much of a career numbers here, even though he does pitch with both hands. So
is he still in the major leagues?
Yeah, he's 2-2 with a 4.73 ERA. Let's see what they have listed for him now. He signed with the Miami Marlins on January of 2020. Then he elected free agency in July because they didn't bring him up. He ended up re-signing with them. And, apparently he pitched in 3 games last year. And he was outrighted. They took him off the 40-man roster. So
he could be done.
Yeah, he looks like he's a free agent as of right now. I don't think he has a team. I'm looking to see if I can find some more. I'd like to know if they have a breakdown of his left-handed ERA against his right-handed ERA. But I don't know if they went that in depth with anything. So.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if there's actually a full 162 game season this year. I know that it's almost time for the catchers and pitchers to report in another few weeks.
Yeah.
And are they actually planning, by the way, to have a minor league season this year?
You know, as far as I know, they're going to try. I haven't heard anything different, so we'll have to kind of, wait and see and just kind of play it by ear. And, maybe they'll be able to get it going. So
it would be nice to get things back to normal again. We've talked about that before, of course. And
yeah,
it's still jarring to see it, even – like you said, it's a boring, the NBA game may be boring, but it's still jarring to see it without fans. The same thing for hockey or football has minimum amount of fans in the stands. It does detract from the game, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, well, I did see they announced, the NFL announced today that they're going to allow 25,000 in for the Super Bowl. So, they'll have a solid amount of people there at least.
Where is the Super Bowl this year?
Tampa.
Tampa. So that's what, about 80,000 normal?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sure it's probably, 60 or 70 plus.
Right.
So,
right. So they're allowing about, 20, maybe 20% or 25% capacity in there.
But, yeah, so we'll see. But, anyways, I guess the big question for you now is, are you watching the Bulls tonight or are you watching the Blackhawks?
Oh, we got the Sports Plus, the regular Sports Channel and the Plus Channel. Did they both start at the same time?
No, the Bulls actually start an hour earlier.
Now, the Bulls are playing, Charlotte tonight?
Yeah, and the Blackhawks are playing Detroit.
An old school contest tonight.
So yeah, and, the Blackhawks still looking for that first win. They're 0-3-1. So.
But they do have one. They do have 1 point.
Yep. So Detroit is 2-2. So.
Yeah. You know anything about the that goalie that played for them and that last loss, that overtime loss? I know nothing about this guy.
No, that's why I asked you. I was like, wait, there's another goalie.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was surprised. I've never heard of this guy. I know nothing about him. And get him into overtime. And I'm not sure. I don't think Detroit is a very good team either. So maybe the Blackhawks will get their first win of the season tonight.
Maybe. You know, it's possible. I haven't seen, you know, I don't know who's starting in goal. So I don't know if we're going to get Malcolm Subban or Colin Dealey, or if we'll get this this new guy whose name I'm hoping to look up here,
yeah.
Except my internet isn't cooperating right now. So we'll have to see here. But just
regarding
regarding
the Bulls, are you concerned that Wendell Carter will be kept out of the lineup tonight because of some kind of quad injury? You think that's going to be significant?
No, I doubt it. You know, he's kind of there, isn't he? So, you know, I mean, I know he's done some good things, so, you know, it may hurt a little bit. Here, this guy's name was Kevin Lankinen.
That's true. That's correct, yeah.
I couldn't, you know, other than that, I don't know. I'm going to see if I can find some career numbers, but he's got the, you know, the best goals against average out of the three goalies, so maybe he'll get the start tonight and get them their first win.
That would be nice. And has Corey Crawford played yet this year? Isn't he? I'm not sure if he's even...
No, he announced his retirement.
Oh, he did? I didn't see that. Was this recently?
Yeah. He announced that he was going to take some time away from the team.
Right, I remember that.
And then about a week later, or maybe it was 2 weeks later, he just came out and decided he was just going to retire. So.
Well, I think that's a wise decision on his part, and especially in he'll be able to protect his family, and I think that over the course of his career, he should be somewhat set financially, you would think?
You'd like to think so. As long as he didn't make any bad investments, like I forgot who it was, I just read somebody, I think it was an NBA player who's broke because he made some bad investments after making, you know, millions and millions upon of dollars there, so...
Sometimes I wonder if it's bad investments or if they go crazy and buy 15 to 20 luxury cars and support all their friends and family, too.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that gets some players in trouble. You know, you start handing out money to your friends and the people who know your friends and that kind of stuff. So, you know, that becomes a slippery slope.
Yeah, it's hard to conceive with the astronomical salaries those guys get that someone could actually wind up broke after their career is over with.
Yeah, but unfortunately it happens. You know, and I know the leagues now have taken to, you know, like when you come in as a rookie, you go through a finance course. You know, they try to teach you, you know, about that kind of stuff and help you out. So, you know, maybe it's something that we won't have to, you know, see or deal with, but, you know, it's just, you know, one of those things, you know, you get caught up
and you'd like to see them do their homework and get some well-known and financial advisor who has a good reputation in the industry and will do a good job for them.
So, yeah. It's just kind of a sad state of affairs when you see it. I was trying to remember if it was, you know, Curt Schilling when his company went belly up, if he ended up broke. But, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those sad things that kind of you know, kind of comes along. And, you know, obviously, you're surprised at like some of the names you see or hear, you know, when it comes to this happening to people.
Right. I'm going to quote an old Buddy Rogers line for you regarding Curt Schilling. To a nicer guy, it couldn't happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I know, Evander Holyfield was one of those guys, ended up going broke. And I think that was part of the motivation for his comeback. So, he managed to get himself in trouble. And, yeah, I think he's managed to get himself out of it. But I know, you know, Lawrence Taylor had some issues. John Daly's the golfer was well publicized.
Oh yeah. He has some bad habits that hurt him quite badly.
So, you know, and I know, obviously one of the ones that, you know, we don't know much about here, but Diego Maradona had a problem, you know, with the Italian tax authority. And, I was just kind of checking up on it here, and they demanded that he pay back $54 million in back taxes. So, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those things, you know, just didn't pay his taxes.
Yeah, and and they tack on the principal and the interest and penalties, and boy, that could kill you. That is hard to deal with.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, obviously there are, you know, some of the other guys that, you know, you would know, you know, O.J. Simpson obviously went broke, and, you know, Lenny Dykstra, because they, you know, they both ended up in prison, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to see these things happen, but they do.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, it's unfortunate, but you wonder, you know, why. You know, why they didn't seek out a financial assistance when they started making all this money. You know, I mean, there's plenty of firms out there that they could have went to. But,
sure.
You know, instead you listen to your friends or your family, and, you know, unfortunately, they don't always have your best interest in mind.
No. Maybe this course that the NBA is offering will help. You would like to think that it would do some good.
Yeah, well, it's not only NBA. I believe all sports are offering it now.
Well, that's a good deal. That's something that should have been addressed years ago, and I'm glad that the major sports are at least making an attempt to help out the players.
Yeah, well, you know, at first I think they were probably under the impression they didn't need this. I guess maybe they gave players too much credit, you know, thinking they would know, you know, because if you think about it, I mean, even if you just put $1 million in a savings account when you first start playing, you know, it's just going to continue to multiply as long as you don't touch it.
No, it's true.
So, you know, you would have something, but, apparently, you know, it didn't work out. And, you know, and obviously, you know, the one famous case is Allen Iverson, who literally refused when people told him he needed to cut off his buddies. So, you know, he went broke.
Yep. And years ago, there was even on a certificate of deposit, you can get 5-6%. Of course, we can't get that much anymore. You just think of put a couple of million bucks into that and just let that interest accumulate.
No.
But I guess they didn't think of it in that way.
So, yeah, and, you know, that's, you know, the other thing, obviously, is the, you know, you wonder what the hell their agent did. You know, why didn't they step in? And I can understand with the boxers, because a lot of those guys are shady. You know, I mean, there's just no other way to say it. You know, they're out looking, you know, the promoters themselves are out looking for as much money as they can get, and they don't care where they get it. So, you know, but like these other guys, you know, I mean, they all have apparently responsible agents. You know, why didn't they set them up with somebody?
You would think that they would do the right thing, and unless they just ignored the advice of the agents and went their own way.
Which is what Iverson did, you know, because his agent told them, hey, you know, you know, I know you're friends with these guys, but you got to cut them loose. And, you know, they were his buddies from back in high school, and he just completely refused to get, you know, let them off the, you know, take them off the gravy train. So.
Yeah, and how did it work out for him, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, unfortunately, you know, I'm sure once his money went away, so did probably the majority of them.
Yeah. See you later. It's been fun, right?
Yeah. So, but, you know, we'll see. But, you know, as we start to run out of time here, do you have any interest in Conor McGregor coming back to fight tomorrow? Because I've seen a lot of buzz about it. Do you care at all?
No, he's an exciting personality, and I know he beat his opponent pretty handily when they met a number of years ago. I think he stopped in the first round, but the years have taken a toll on him. I don't think he's quite as good as he once was. But I was looking at, you mentioned the Conor McGregor. I was looking at some of the prices they want to charge for this pay-per-view tomorrow, and I could not believe that they're looking, in some cases, they're looking for $89.95, and I never remember
wow.
it being that high for a pay-per-view.
No, that's, maybe because it's him coming back and they figure people are going to buy.
Possibly, but that when I saw that amount, it kind of shocked me. I never expected it to be that high. Is he that big of a draw?
I guess we're going to find out. I, you know, like personally, I don't care. He doesn't interest me at all. You know, so I'll look at the results and stuff, but I really don't care which way the fight goes. You know, I know he's talking about wanting to fight 7 times in the next couple years. So my guess is he wants to pay off those couple lawsuits that he just got hit with in, I believe, Ireland. So he's going to try to make some quick money. But if he loses tonight, you know, or tomorrow, that could put a little doubt into how much fighting he's going to do and what he's worth.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, he did beat this guy handily a number of years ago, but that was a number of years ago, and I don't think he's fought all that much recently.
No, I don't think he's fought in years. So, you know, you got to wonder if there's a little rust and, you know, how he'll do.
And what kind of shape he's in, too.
Well, you know, I saw the highlights from the weigh-in, and they both looked in tip-top shape, which you would expect.
And how old is McGregor now? You know, off the top?
I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, I know he's got to be pushing 35.
Yeah, I was thinking 35, 36. Yeah. And a lot of wear and tear on him over the course of his career. And as you pointed out, he hasn't fought in a while, and maybe he's in good shape, but you would think the rust has to be there, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow around 10 o'clock our time, I believe, is when the fight is scheduled to start.
Oh, I know it's going to be good. Let me tell you, I'm going to take off. Now, you know, we're going to Monday, so we can go back here at 4:30. But by the way, we'll turn it out on the You know, there's a link for you over to the Facebook page. So put that over there. And if you haven't yet, give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, though, which is at Sportstime Radio. I'm also on Twitter at Sportstime, that's Sportstime. And then if you stop by my Facebook Live, Facebook, and my Facebook, just look out. Head over to Twitter.com and you can listen anytime you want. Have a good weekend.